I forgot. I thought I was hosting the episode. Sorry.
I know. I've heard you like.
I was like, take two.
Yeah. All right. Take two. Welcome back to Grandstand episode 12, season 6. This is our Japan debrief. P Money Pushan here in Paris, and we got F Knowles straight out of his film seminar. Where were you at?
No, it's fucking Knowles to you, pal.
Yeah, fucking Knowles. Yeah. To those who know.
Yeah, just to be clear, if we haven't. It's been F Knowles a lot lately. Let's get back to the. Let's get back to the roots.
Yeah, fucking Knowles in California.
Yeah, there we go.
How's it go, man?
Good, good. Was helping with a new film festival here in Los Angeles. Shameless plug. Called the LA Festival of Movies, and we had our closing night party, and it was a hit. We had three cases of mezcal, and the party was.
I was gonna say, how drunk did you guys get?
I was working. I kind of, you know, I only had one drink, but.
Interesting.
Yeah,
it's like winning a race and not taking a sip of the champagne. Wow.
Yeah, that's not true. I know I had a beer too, but we had a mezcal sponsor, and then we had some beer, and then we had like a non-alc sparkling tea, which is delicious. Also, another shameless plug for Toast, T-O-S-T.
Jesus. Yo.
Hey man, I'm trying to get sponsors for us. All right.
Are we getting a kickback from this, like a case or something? Come on, bro.
Maybe. We're drinking last night. We went through three cases of mezcal in about an hour and a half, which is. Damn, a lot.
Did some good damage. Wow. Yeah. Well done, man.
The festival is a success. Everybody's happy. So it was a good weekend.
All right. Yeah, that's great. All right. Let's get back to that.
Get the Formula One.
I mean, I'm all about the mezcal, but yeah. F1, we're back. I mean, lots to talk about here. We obviously went back to the normal cycle of Max domination this weekend, which we all kind of saw coming. But before we get into it, I think you had a little commentary on the commentary.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
What's going on here?
The two quick things. I'm a little confused. Confused by Formula One, who's trying to grow their American audience, and they sold the TV rights to ESPN, who just then. Basically, I think licensed their footage or their coverage of Formula One from Sky Sports. So they're just broadcasting Sky Sports on ESPN. There's no pre-race coverage. There's no post-race coverage for the American audience. So I just don't like, and maybe it's a ploy to get people to get, you know, the F1 TV app, which is actually very good. I switched over to, this leads me to my second part. ESPN, I just don't understand like, It's lazy, like NBC. Yeah,
there's no like transition between like, oh, here was the F1 race, and then it's like, hey, no, let's show you like a college football game.
Yeah, it's
or
like
highlights
it's like,
or something. Yeah,
exactly. It's like, oh, we're gonna put on Formula One, the premier, you know, the top level of motorsport in the world, and then we're gonna put on ballet dancing, competitive ballet dancing, or like water polo afterwards. You're like, what the fuck? but just like don't really understand that. And then the second part of this is you know, Crofty and the Sky Sports team obviously have their English bias, but I don't know what it was this weekend. It really bothered me to the extent that I was like, there is just no objectivity. Like the dick sucking and patriotism happening on Sky Sports this weekend was out of control. And like, there's just no objectivity. It was just like, we're clearly British, and that's like, they don't understand that they're speaking to a broader international audience. I mean, on F1 app, it's international, right?
Do you remember like that? Did anything kind of stand out to you? Like, cause I feel like every weekend there's the usual, oh my God, here's Lando Norris and here's Lewis Hamilton and here's George Russell.
Funny enough.
That. Yeah. What was it this time?
It was that moment between Lewis and Lando when Lando made that ballsy pass on Lewis around the outside. And I think Crofty said something to the extent of like, it's just makes you feel good to be an Englishman or some shit like that. And I just immediately switched back to F1 TV broadcast. I was like, you know what, Alex Jakes, you're getting me today. So that's the end of that.
I've become so used to that English kind of in your face that, yeah, I kind of just blank it out. I'm also looking at all the numbers and everything. So maybe like I tune out Crofty's voice sometimes if it's not, you know, relevant. The English didn't do so well this weekend, though. So interesting that he was hyping that up. But how about we cool off and get you back back on track here with our sweet intro and then get into what happened in Suzuka.
Let's do it.
Patriots, James.
Stay out. I am stupid.
Bring back the fucking V12s.
You're too old to have driven here, really. Shame you wasn't fast enough to get to Formula One.
All the time you have to live a place.
Fuck them all.
More ladies in the paddock. There's too many dudes in the paddock.
Yeah, boy.
Ooh, all right. After 2 weeks, man, here we go. Back on track. And we were in Japan in spring this year. So obviously we got a lot of shots of spring blossoms everywhere thrown in your face. I love the shots of the crowd in Japan every year. Just the extent like in which they go to, like creating their own hats made out of tires, made out of front wings. It's just like they're creative in a very nerdy way, and I love it.
Yeah, I'm about to show you something real quick that I took a screenshot of, but there's a woman who was like caught kind of like picking her nose a little bit, but like was looking straight into the camera and then had this like Daniel Ricciardo fan. I'm gonna put it on our Instagram, but it's so strange, and they kept like zooming in on her. But yeah, the Japanese fans always have some wild ass shit going on.
Yeah, what's funny is that they're so into it, but they're also so polite. Like, so I saw one shot, I think during the race, where the camera guy was trying to get a shot of people getting hyped up on the front straight, and the lady kind of told her husband, "Hey, you gotta go down. He's trying to film the race here." It's like, no, we're trying to get you guys, people.
It reminds me of the girl I saw at Monza a few years back who like brought a little TV box and just was staring at the camera the entire time, hoping that she'd be on television.
Oh God, I hope she didn't make it.
I hope to God she did not. She did not watch the race. She just stared at the camera the entire time. It was ridiculous.
It's what we call an attention whore.
Right? Yeah. Ooh, who are you calling whore, man? Watch out, the Italians will come after you.
Hey, I said attention whore.
Not Italian whore.
That's for a different podcast, but
I'm curious which one that is.
So we're back to Max and Checo taking that 1-2. Yep. You know, this year is the first time year started with four consecutive 1-2s, not by the same team. We've had three Red Bulls and one Ferrari, obviously. Even though it's a Max and Checo 1-2, it does seem like it's bunching up a bit. Ferrari clearly showing that they're getting closer. You know, as you know, you're trying to hype them up last week, and I told you, hey, listen, hey, if we get three and four, if we get a podium, which is what we did, I'd be happy. And honestly, I can't feel upset. I mean, obviously, it's kind of a bummer to hear those, you know, Dutch and Austrian anthems in the end. But I've come out of this race kind of feeling like, okay, I think we're on the right track, because we were in Suzuka only a few months ago, because it was towards the end of last year, and the margin, I read somewhere that Ferrari gained 23 seconds of race time on Red Bull, so pretty happy about that. But once again, it does show that Suzuka is a track that shows which cars do really well, and Red Bull excelled. And honestly, Checo did as well. So huge weekend, maximum points. And, you know, if you're thinking about getting that second Red Bull seat for next year, it's going to be a little tough right now.
I it's interesting, because I came out of this race saying to myself, you know what? Checo deserves a seat. I don't see why Red Bull, right? He's putting in consistent performances. We know he's the number two driver there. So what you need from the number two driver is just to be there to get maximum points. And he's doing that. Right. So I think it's going to be interesting, though, because we see what's happening with Ferrari. Like, Ferrari are on the come up, man. Like, they, this is, your mind might be blown by what I'm about to say, but Ferrari had a great strategy weekend. Like, in what world? We've never said that on this podcast.
I think we've said it this year, and I feel like it's confirming the trend that Ferrari's not fucking up on strategy as much, and they're making good calls. And last weekend I was talking about execution, and they're really executing their races properly, and all props to Fred Vasseur. I think
That's what I was about to say. I was like,
my man,
it's the Fred effect, man. It's the Fred effect. I you got to give it to him.
Yeah, got to get the French team principal, just like in the Jean Todt era, and then things will start looking good again. But but man, hey, Checo in qualifying under a tenth off Max at Suzuka, which is like traditionally called a driver's track, that surprised me a lot. Checo's in a good spot these days. He's gotten P2 three times this year. And we say, okay, he did his job, but I feel like he's doing a little bit more than his job. He's showing up now.
Oh, big time. And I think it's fascinating with what's happening in the driver market. Obviously, you know, Carlos Sainz that dude is driving like an absolute fucking monster right now.
He's unstoppable.
It's crazy, dude. Like, I'm telling you, everybody's going to start getting their, like, low key getting their appendix taken out.
I mean, I've got my appointment. It's scheduled for next week. I don't know what I'm doing it for, but you know.
Some other performance in some other area. Yeah.
Perhaps, yeah. For a faster pit stop.
Yeah, whatever that means.
That's a good thing, right?
Yeah, sure. I guess. Yeah. I'm not really sure what kind of pit stops you've got. You're doing, if you know what I mean. No, but I Checo right now is definitely he's doing what he needs to do, and I think even a little bit more to keep that seat. And it's like, why would you fuck up a good thing? Right, like you're maximizing points with the exception of the last race where Max DNF'd in Australia. Mm. But I think Checo's in a good spot. But Carlos Sainz, I think, is gunning for that seat. But
check this out: 100% podium rate when he finishes a race this season.
That's the smooth operator.
Yeah, that's smooth. Smooth as fuck.
That is smooth. That is smooth. But yeah, man, I'm curious to see how that happens. But yeah, I came out of this weekend saying, yep, Checo's doing what he needs to do.
So Ferrari boys were on it. I mean, Sainz, another P3, racking up those podiums, definitely, you know, throwing out his CV if he still had to. And Leclerc, after not really nailing qualifying, like he's known to be like a really fast driver over one lap and not really performing in terms of in the race and tire degradation, he kind of did the opposite this weekend where he fucked up in qualifying, but had a really good strategy. The one-stop strategy was up there fighting with Carlos for a podium in the end. All around really good stuff for Ferrari. McLaren finished right behind Ferrari or a little bit further than what they would have expected. I think McLaren was a little disappointed. They had P2 and P3 a few months ago with Norris and Piastri. And I just noticed that Norris was on it and did what he could, but Piastri a little rough this weekend, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, just quickly, I mean, let's just also recognize that Charles Leclerc got driver of the day on Sunday. But yeah, McLaren kind of, I think for me, it's become very clear and definitive. Like Ferrari is the second best team, and I think is making some good headway.
Say that again. Say that again, please.
Nah, you can just push back in the timeline there, you know, if you need to.
Time code.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, just press that 10-second button reverse and you can hear it again, but I'm not going to say it. But no, I mean, real talk though. I think I've said this. Like when Ferrari is doing well, the sport's doing well. So it's a good thing in the end. But I think McLaren has now kind of like it's very clear like they are not where Ferrari is. You know, I think they're a little bit behind them and still have work to do. The consistency isn't there.
And also, you know, when another team does better than you just have to keep going and get back to work, as we'll get to some other teams that really need to work.
Yikes.
There's one thing that I really loved and I wanted to point out is that Alonso, who finished in a P6, claimed that this might have been one of his best races of all time in his top fives, which, you know, he never misses a chance to pat himself on the back. We'll put it that way.
Yeah. you know what I'm about to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a Clamy Lee Curtis right there.
That means his season goes downhill from now.
Yeah, exactly.
But getting back to the whole Canada 23 kind of gives me the impression that Alonso's also out there trying to throw his CV out. He's saying, you know, oh my God, I'm the best. Like, look at what I've done. When you destroy Stroll like you did this weekend, it makes you look even better. But man, I'm hearing that Alonso said no to Merck. In his post-race interview, he was saying, like, well, look at Merck. They finished behind us this weekend. They're not so attractive. And he's clearly gunning for that Red Bull seat. So it's going to be a battle of the Spaniards, it seems, for that second Red Bull spot. And obviously with Checo as well, so a little Hispanic,
Espanol, little battle of the Spanish speakers. Fernando's gonna Fernando. We know he's done it his entire career. This is fucking classic Fernando Alonso, but it's also a weekend where we saw classic Lance Stroll. Like, dude, his radio. You've called him Silver Spoon Stroll, and like, my God, dude, what a fucking crybaby.
I've rarely heard like such a high pitched voice coming out of a man.
Did you just go back through puberty and like go the other way?
Yeah.
What's going on there, bro?
Was it the G-force of the car? Yeah.
Did your balls drop
go
off?
Back up? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so
wonder if Lawrence Stroll ever heard this, I wonder what would happen to us.
No, there'd be like a laser dot on our forehead right now as we're recording.
Yeah. But it would be a maple leaf dot.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, sure. Canada, yeah. Maybe. Yeah, yeah. Second Canada references episode. I like it.
Yeah, wow.
Shout out to our Canadian audience.
Yeah.
I've been waiting to get to this whole episode pretty much. Okay. I mean, I obviously wanted to hear you say good things about Ferrari, but Mercedes, we said a P5 and a P7. You said last episode would be good. Mercedes, P7 and P9, after saying on Friday after pre-practice, Lewis said he had a breakthrough and saying like, oh my God, I finally feel like I'm feeling better with this car, more comfortable. He said he's no longer experimenting, but yet in the race, they were nowhere. What are your thoughts as the Mercedes fan for now?
For now. I'm not putting this on the drivers as much as I'm putting it on Toto. I don't know what is going on with that man right now, but he's like calling out Michael Massey still in the press. He really went on a tear on Massey, and it's like, dude, just like, we know what happened. We all are still butthurt about it, but like,
I'm not,
you gotta look ahead into the future because your team is struggling right now. And you know, it's crazy. Cause like, they're not in a terrible, terrible place. Like, it's not like they're Alpine. who are their own.
Once again, we're comparing them to the worst.
Yeah, team. No, but no, I mean, just
in terms of management, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. In terms of management, but also just like expectations. You know, when you've been as successful as Mercedes has been in the past 10 years, it's hard to figure out a different pathway, like when nothing works, right? It's very tough. It's like an artist who has great success and then like they put out some work that's terrible and they just, you know, it just kills their career. It's similar to that in some ways where like, you know, you've got a team who doesn't seem to have the answers, and I'm starting to lose faith in Toto as a team boss, which says a lot because I used to think he was the best in the game. And right now I think he's showing some vulnerability that is also costing the team dearly.
Yeah. I'm also seeing a lot of not finger pointing because they don't do that at Merck, as they like to remind us all the time. But he's saying stuff like, oh, it's not the core. There's a problem of correlation, meaning what we see in the simulator doesn't translate in real life. But that's what happens to every team. Like, you're not going to get exactly 100% what the sim says. And it's like saying, like, yeah, if we were better, we'd be faster. I mean, yeah, we get it. Just fucking get your, like, it's been 3 years. Like, it's just seems like a lot of excuses coming out of Toto and not a lot of results. But I will say this. After studying, you know, the times and everything, it wasn't a great race for Merck, obviously, but it wasn't as bad as it looks, oddly enough. I feel like they, so what they did was after that red flag, which we'll get into in a little bit, they changed their strategies and they went on a one stopper, which in hindsight was the worst option for the race.
Right.
But once you're in it, you have to stick to it. Unless you're going to make it worse if you switch. You know, at one point, Lewis is like, get me off this fucking strategy. Like, change this right now.
Yeah.
But it's too late. Like, you can't do it. Or you're just going to end up pitting more than you wanted to, lose more race time, and finish in the back. But Lewis had a really good stint in the end on his medium tires. But yeah, it was weird at first when Lewis was ahead of George and he kind of volunteered.
Yeah, he did. He got on the radio.
Oh, maybe he's on a different strategy and I should let him go. Is like, is Lewis just being a good team player or was he just confused? I think it's a little bit of both, to be honest.
I think he was being a good team player. I don't think he was confused. I think he knew exactly what he was doing. Like, he wouldn't get on the radio to say that.
Yeah, because you never hear a driver be like, yo, what should I do here?
That's literally what it was. That's kind of the energy he was giving right there.
Some might say that reminds them of Charles last year, his engineer being like, yeah, so what do you think?
I think that's worse, actually. Who's got all the data in front of him is asking a guy who's driving, you know, at 200 miles an hour. So what do you think we should do here, buddy? I think it's better if a driver's asking that question versus an engineer is
right
asking the driver. But no, I really, that kind of warmed my heart that moment when Lewis did that. I was like, you know what? Like, this is why I love Lewis, is because, you know, he is a team player when it really comes down to it.
When he's not fighting for the win.
Well, when he's not fighting for the win, but that kind of, you do need to do that in this sport. So he's better at it than one of his former teammates, I'll tell you that.
I wonder who you're talking about.
Yeah,
Fernando.
He drives for Aston Martin.
And is maybe going to take a seat next year.
Who knows?
So let's see what Merck does in the next few races. I'm honestly at the point where I don't expect anything. And anything that comes up might be just a good surprise to see them fight for a podium or something. But hey, they seem like they're on the right path, but the results are not there yet. No.
And Toto just needs to shut up. Like, I think Toto needs to stay out of the press for a bit.
He does. Just like our next driver, who I really want to give kudos to, started to kind of reel it in after talking too much at the beginning of the year. Also, maybe showing his aggression to his teammate because of team orders, actually. And we are, of course, talking about Yuki Tsunoda, who at home scored P10, which doesn't sound like a great result. But if you look at the teams these days, you've got Red Bull, Ferrari, McLaren, Aston Martin, Mercedes, right? You got these five big teams. If both their drivers score points, then no one else gets any points. But when one of them fucks up, you got to be there to pick up the points. And Yuki did that. He had some really amazing moves on the outside in the S's, which were insane, I thought. Some of the best moves of the year so far. He calmed himself down after like a rough start of the year and scored a point. And honestly, I feel like in the midfield, he's the driver to follow right now, and really happy that he got this result on the back of a P7 in Australia. So as of now, he scored all 7 points for RB Visa Cash App team.
mouthful.
So yeah, just want to say big props to Yuki. And
he had a good weekend. I put him I put him as my Gromo for the weekend. So congrats to Yuki. No, it's a huge, I'd say that's a win for him. Getting the point at home, pretty big.
Yeah, did you see that epic battle in the pits when like five cars came in?
Oh yeah, that was nuts.
And like the RB team really put that pit stop together in a great way. I gotta feel bad for Bottas, because Bottas was fighting for that point as well. And once again, he didn't have like a 48 second pit stop like last race, but it was 8 seconds, which made him lose that point. He could have got that point. So feel bad for Valtteri, but hopefully he said like, yeah, we're getting better. You know, we're pit stop average time is going down every race. So hopefully he'll score some points soon. But good for Yuki. His teammate, unfortunately, Danny Rick, did not have such a good weekend. He didn't have time in FP1 because they let Iwasa, who's a young Japanese driver, take over the car for the session, which was planned months in advance. And his race ended on lap one when he turned into Alex Albon and caused a pretty big crash, immediate red flag. What do we think of that?
I mean, for me, it's a racing incident. It's a lap one racing incident. I think the DR3's got them. He's got the microscope on him right now. So like people are like really probably looking into it from that perspective. Hmm. But at the end of the day, I don't think you can't necessarily put it on him as much as you can. Just being like, it's lap one, car's bunched up. You're trying to get position and, you know, Alex makes a move, Daniel makes a move and see the result. So, which is why I think the stewards got it right. You know,
yeah.
No one got penalized for it in the end, other than Williams in their pocketbook.
Yeah, my God. So before we get to that, I agree with the racing incident, but I do feel that it shows that like Danny Rick is not doing so hot these days because spatial awareness there was not good for him. So if I were to give a little bit of the blame, I would give more to Danny Rick.
Yeah, I'd say it falls more on him than it would Alex. For it's definitely not Alex's fault.
He didn't need that. Like we said last episode, he needed a clean. I mean, no one ever fucking needs that for sure. But crashing on lap one.
Yeah.
But he definitely needed a clean weekend, and he didn't get that. So, yeah. In that race for that second seat right now, with Yuki putting in those performances, with Checo putting in those performances, like I'm a little worried about our boy Danny Rick.
Same. Yeah, I'd like he's got to get a result soon, man.
Dude, yeah,
he's got to get a result. There's nothing else you can say.
Yeah, no, for sure. He'll bounce back. He's done it many times in his career. Who else needs to bounce back is Williams as a team, as you mentioned. Alex Albon last race crashed his car, broke the chassis, raced his teammate's car, and then in this race, Sargeant inherited that broken/repaired chassis. He crashed in FP1. Albon crashed at the beginning of the race. It's just like it's a lot of money going out for repairs, as it seems like these days.
Yeah, man. James Vowles is funny. He was on the post race show on F1 TV, and you could just see in his face, he's like, what the fuck are we gonna do? Like, he didn't say that, but you just get a sense that he's like, Alex breaking the car in Australia was a big deal, right?
Huge.
And now they won't have a new chassis, I think, until Canada.
Miami. So not Miami. This race. It's in two races.
Yeah. So, But at the same, it's a lot of money to go out the door and
in a cost cap era.
And I think another thing too is just like it's just bad luck for Williams, which sucks because they're a team that like doesn't need bad luck and have been making very small strides like race after race and are sometimes finding themselves in the points thanks to Alex mainly. Logan had a bad shunt during this past race weekend.
Yeah.
It's just like something's got to change. I think it's getting to a point too where Logan Sargeant, just because of these incidents, may just have to get like his seat has to go to someone else who's not going to bin it.
Antonelli, I've been calling it.
Yeah, we'll see.
Could happen. Because we know Merck really wants him next year and they really want to push him into F1. And it's going to be hard to convince any like top driver to take a race seat for 1 year, right? Especially when Merck sucks right now. It's like, hey, Carlos.
Ass.
Yeah. Carlos, would you like a 1 year contract with us? No, I think I'll pass on this one. Yeah, Williams. And you know, the thing is that they're spending money on repairs and it's also, that also means that their rate of development is going to slow down because of it. So keep an eye on that, because that could have huge consequences for them scoring any points the rest of the year. So that's big. That's huge. Hopefully they can fix Alex's car in time for next race, because if they don't, you know, there are rumors of them only racing one car if there's only one chassis available. And, you know,
that's tough.
But hey, just speculation for now, because in the meantime, they're going to have to send that chassis back to England, and then it has to come back to China. And yeah, just think about all that money.
logistics, spending the money on shipping that is out of control.
My God, yeah. Well, I'll tell you who else took a big hit this weekend. It was yours truly here in the Stan Championship. My God.
Let's go.
I found myself like rooting for drivers that I usually don't root for, just so you wouldn't get those points. So as a quick recap, we both got points for, unsurprisingly, for Max on pole and Max victory, but you also racked up Carlos Sainz in P3 and Lando Norris in P5. And you now have 107 points to my 75. You've got over 30 points, 32 points to be precise, lead over me. And
good math.
Yeah, thanks. I love my numbers. Yeah, I didn't give you many stats, you know, this episode. No. So I feel like I'll make up for it here. It's not in my favor.
Well, listen, man. It's about time I win this fucking championship. So
it's a long season, my friend.
It is a long season. Very, it's the longest in F1 history. So
yeah. Ooh, I'll give you a little stat. Just
thanks.
Yeah,
it's just what we need.
So Max Verstappen, obviously, he's breaking a lot of records. 57th win of his career. 30th time he wins from pole, and he's the fourth driver to lead more than 3,000 laps. Can you name the other three for me? A little trivia.
It's got to be Schumi.
Mm-hmm. All-time leader.
Senna.
Mm-mm.
No. Fangio.
Mm-mm. 3,000. I mean, yeah, laps, races were way shorter back in the day. Think about cycles of domination, basically.
Oh, okay. Schumi, Lewis.
Yeah, of course.
Lewis and Seb Vettel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Joins that club.
Wow. Look at that. Wow. Well, I just pulled that out of my ass.
Yeah, only 7, 4, and 7 world championships. So yeah, well done, Knowles.
Yeah, talk about math. That's quick maths.
Numbers. All right, so we have another week off before going back to China, which we haven't raced at since pre-COVID for obvious reasons. Yeah. 2019, I think, was the last time we raced there, and it'll be a sprint weekend next time around.
I like that it's a sprint weekend to go back to this track. China always has had, this track has had some very fun moments in the past.
It's had some bangers. Check out 2006 race highlights, Schumi versus Alonso. Holy shit.
Yeah. Danny Ricks win there is also a good one.
That's right. 2018. Oh, maybe that could be a good spot for him to start his season again, like he said in Australia.
Press that restart button, baby.
Well, we do have a week off, so we'll get into the China preview next week. But in the meantime, follow us on social media at the Grandstand F1. And give us a review wherever you'd like to listen to podcasts. And from F. Knowles and I, we'll catch you on the next one.